Welcome back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who's not. And I have on the phone Dr. Michael Christie here from the Southern Joint Replacement Institute. Now, let me tell you why I have him on. I have him on for two reasons. One of them is because so many caregivers I know are either preparing for a hip replacement surgery or some type of joint replacement surgery for their loved one. Their loved one needs one, or they're recovering from one. That's number one reason. The number two reason is so many caregivers are in need of medical attention themselves for this thing, but they won't do it. So I'm bringing the doctor to them. That's what I'm doing.
See, good call.
Because they won't. 72% of caregivers just won't go see their own doctor regularly, so they'll just limp along or deal with something crazy. And so I'm bringing, and also I want you to hear what Dr. Christie's doing with his work in developing countries. And with Gracie, she's had over 50 something orthopedic surgery. So I think it's important we have an orthopedic surgeon on at some point.
Probably a good idea.
So Dr. Christie, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for
you, Peter.
Well, I am well. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. It's a beautiful day.
It is a great day in Tennessee. We're glad to have you with us. Tell us a little bit about, you've been in Nashville for a long time. I mean, in fact, you came in here about the same time I came to Nashville, and you taught over at Vanderbilt and so forth, but then you started the Joint Replacement Institute. Tell us a little bit about that before we get into other stuff.
Well, the Southern Joint Replacement Institute is a private practice. It's a group of six joint replacement surgeons. That's orthopedic surgery and a subspecialty in doing hip, knee, and shoulder replacements. I have the best job in the world. I get to do an operation that is predictable, reproducible, changes lives, and I get to use power tools in the operating room.
Sign me up. I'm in.
Power tools in the operating room.
That's all you had to say.
The tool man.
So it's Southern Joint Replacement started in about 1999. It was the year Dr. David DeBoer and I left Vanderbilt, and with the goal of trying to build a practice focused on excellence in patient care.
Well, now you guys do a couple of things that I thought were need to be talked about here on the show. One of them is you follow your patients for life. This is not a, okay, we'll see you, best of luck to you. This is, you're going to stay in touch with that patient for life.
That's absolutely right. So joint replacements are very durable. If we look at hips and knees done 15 to 20 years ago, 75% of them are still in and functioning. But patients live a long time, they're very active, and over time they can wear them out. That's something that shows on x-ray before it causes symptoms to the patient. And so us seeing them in the office every year or every 2 years and getting an x-ray is a very helpful way to know how their hip or knee is doing.
Well, this is, of course, we've dealt with this in my house a lot with my wife, with lots and lots of orthopedic surgeries over the years. So I was very interested in having you on for this. Let me switch gears a little bit and talk about caregivers of folks who are dealing with this, because I've heard, and maybe this is an urban legend, but I've heard a lot that, like, when mom falls and broke her hip, the chances are the hip was already broken before she fell and led to the fall.
Probably not true in most cases. The trouble with hip fractures and older patients is all the things that led to the hip fracture. So the ill patient, the imbalanced patient, the new medicines, those things that, so you have a patient who's already ill, and then they have this major catastrophic injury and require a surgical operation to fix it.
All right, so what's involved when you're dealing with somebody that's an older patient? Because we have this massive aging population going on. What are some of the things that people need to think about with hip, knee, or shoulder going on with an aging parent or so forth?
Well, you know, the good news is that we have really excellent, predictable treatment for it. We start with very conservative things, and much of it's just getting stronger. So physical therapy, daily exercises, those things help protect the joint. They make the patient more balanced. And if they do end up needing an operation, it helps them with their recovery. the joint replacement is so predictable in terms of relieving pain, but after surgery, one needs to do patient needs to do a lot of strengthening. The caregiving part of it is surprisingly benign. And here I have some personal experience. My wife had double knee replacements a year ago, and so instead of just being a surgeon, I was thrust into the caregiving role.
How'd you do?
I did okay.
How does she think you did?
She thinks I did all right, I believe. But there is a reason I went to medical school instead of nursing school. Nursing is a harder and more demanding job.
There's some real discussion on that one, because I've been a recipient of so much nursing care with my wife and so forth over the years, and I don't know that I would argue with that. They are truly saints that do this work. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about Veracruz and what you're doing down there, because this is near and dear to my heart. We have a work that we do with prosthetic limbs over in West Africa. We've been doing this for 12 years, and you probably know some of the prosthetists we use to go over there and set this thing up. But you're doing just a tremendous work in Veracruz with orthopedics. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, as we talked about it, we get to do an operation that is so predictable, and it's expensive, unfortunately, because the implants themselves are very expensive. And so in developing countries, there are many people who simply cannot afford to have a hip or knee replacement. We decided about 6 years ago that we would do the thing we knew best, which is operate, and see if we could develop a program to deliver medical care to those patients who are underserved. So Walk Strong Foundation is the name of our foundation. It's a nonprofit medical humanitarian organization whose objective is simply to provide hip and knee replacements at no cost to patients in developing countries. As we thought about this organization, we decided we wanted to do it differently than many medical missions are. I think, as you know, many medical missions are 101st Airborne operations. You fly into a country, you bring your medical equipment with you, you take care of a bunch of patients, and then you leave with your equipment. And so the people who you helped done well, but the community is really no different than it was before you got there. And so our objective was to see if we could have an impact and create some long-term change in the medical community. We knew that to do that, we had to make a long-term commitment. So we elected to make a 10-year commitment and to try to make two surgical trips a year to Veracruz because of many reasons. We end up primarily doing one, but we go multiple times a year to see our patients.
Now, are you training any local physicians down there?
Yeah, and that's exactly, I think, the point. So that long-term commitment allows you the opportunity to have an impact. So we bring a trailer truck load of durable medical equipment with us once a year. That equipment's donated to the hospital. And the hospital we work at is a state-run hospital. It would be much like a 1960s county hospital here in the States. But they have an orthopedic residency program there. Early on, we identified one of these young men, and we actually, when he finished his residency training, brought him back to Nashville, and he spent a year with us with our U.S. fellows. We trained two other young surgeons a year in what we do in our subspecialty. So we brought him back, and then he went back to Veracruz, where he now trains the residents and takes care of patients there.
You made him a rock star there, didn't you?
Well, that was the goal. What we had hoped we would eventually would achieve that a situation that was stable, that was sustainable, and that eventually the folks in Veracruz would say, you know, thanks, guys, we love seeing you, you're our great friends, but you don't need to come back. We're not quite there yet, but we're much closer than I ever would have guessed.
Well, we've done something similar over in Ghana, and we did the first hip disarticulation prosthetic over there, which was that's a fairly complex prosthesis. And I remember when we did this, and this young man, his name is Simone, he's from the Upper West region of Ghana. The Peace Corps brought him to us, and great candidate, very thin built young man, but in good shape otherwise. And he is now a prosthetic technician himself.
Fantastic.
And it's deeply rewarding. And we've done some very complex prosthesis over there, as you can imagine, and some heartbreaking stories, but it's a deeply rewarding because we've got the guy that's running the facility now. It's run by their government. Is he came up through the ranks. We found him in their technical school system and got him into a program where he was trained, and then we kept enhancing his training and so forth. In fact, I'm going to mention his name on the air, and I don't think you'll mind. Jim McElhaney. You know Jim?
Oh, very well.
Yeah, Jim helped set this up with us. He's been my wife's prosthetist for years. And so you know it's a great program if he's involved with it. And he's our senior prosthetic advisor. And so it's just been a great work. And I love what you guys are doing. It's the same concept. You can't just parachute in and throw up a lot of dust in the air and then leave. You're building something. Because if I build a leg for somebody, he's going to walk. But if I teach and equip somebody to make legs, hundreds are going to walk. And that's what you're doing. And I love this work that you're doing.
Well, you know, the interesting thing was it took us six surgical trips to do 100 knee replacements in Veracruz. When Dr. Amador went back after his year with us, the government was feeling kind of guilty that the Americans were having to come in to help, and so they freed up some money for him to do joint replacements. And in his first year back, he did over 60. So
wow.
We largely, I think, accomplished the goal by getting a well-trained surgeon there to take care of patients.
Well, did you take nurses and PTs and OTs and so forth?
Absolutely. And the doctors are easy, right? There are millions of doctors who are willing to go spend some time and use their skills. The people we really need and we value most are our staff, the operating room nurses, the nurses up on the floor, the physical therapists that take care of patients. They are incredibly valuable. In Mexico, there's no outpatient physical therapy, so the therapy that the patients get and the exercises they get are all while they're in the hospital.
I had a group that met me over there once from Belmont, their PT department, yeah. And I graduated from Belmont years and years ago, so it was really a whole bunch of Belmont folks over there, and so I know that there's folks that want to do this kind of stuff. Where do they go if they're a nurse or a PT or OT or whatever, and if they want to go with you, where do they go to find out more?
They can contact us through our webpage, which is walkstrongfoundation.org. And they can call us at Southern Joint Replacement Institute as well. So that's over at Centennial Hospital.
Well, if you're listening to this and you're a nurse or PT, OT or whatever, and you think, or a surgeon, and you want to do something like this, or you've been thinking, I'd love to go on the mission, get involved. I cannot tell you how rewarding it is. You won't know until you get there. But once you get there, it'll change your life, and Dr. Christie will back me up on that. It's a life-changing experience to go and participate in something like this and use those skills that you have and the education and so forth that you have to strengthen someone else. It is a deeply rewarding thing, and I love it when folks come along with us on our trips and, you know, when you give the gift that keeps on walking. It's a great gift. And so go to walkstrongfoundation.org.
.org, yes, sir.
Not the Walk Strong, but Walk Strong.
Walk Strong.
WalkStrongFoundation.org. Get involved with this. Well, Dr. Christie, I really do appreciate you taking the time on a Sunday afternoon here. I know that you have helped a lot of folks live a healthier, better life, and it means a lot that you come on to show and talk about this. And I'm so glad that caregivers get to hear you and talk about the opportunities. How long, just out of curiosity, because I know there are caregivers putting this off, and I've got to squeeze this in before we go to the break. But if you're doing a normal knee replacement, what's the length of time of recovery before you're back in the game?
So the operation takes an hour and a half. You're in the hospital 1 or 2 days. You leave the hospital walking. You have to be able to get in and out of bed, up and down the stairs, in and out of the car, walk 200 feet. first 6 weeks is devoted to getting strong and getting motion, and after that, you're on the golf course.
See, this is the kind of thing that you caregivers that are putting off getting quality medical care for yourself, I want you to know these things, okay? You're not helping your loved one by continuing to allow your body to decline. Dr. Christie and his team are committed to getting people back into life. Would you take advantage of them at the Southern Joint Replacement Institute? Google it. He's there for you. His whole team is there for you. And I hope you'll check out the Walk Strong Foundation. We got to go to break. Dr. Christie, thank you. Thanks for taking the time.
Peter, it's been a pleasure.
All righty. Listen, this is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. We are all about strengthening you, bringing insights, interviews, and whatever we can to help you stay strong and healthy as a caregiver. Today's a great day to do it. We'll be right back.